Welcome to Chip Health with Dr. Hans Diehl. On today's broadcast, we'll discover effective ways to be healthy by choice and not by chance. Gaining and maintaining optimum health is possible at any age. That's what thousands are learning at the Complete Health Improvement programs offered across the country and around the world. The results are proven. The benefits, priceless. I'm your Chip Health host, Charles Mills. If nutrition had a guru, our guest today would be the man. Michael Greger is a founding member of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. He's a physician, author, and internationally recognized speaker on the subjects of nutrition, food safety, and public health. He's also the driving force behind the most amazing health address on the internet, www.nutritionfacts.org. If you want to know how, what, why, when, and where when it comes to food, this is your go-to guy. Dr. Greger, welcome to Chip Health.
Ah, so good to be here.
Let's talk about prostate cancer. Now, the reason I'm wanting to talk about this is because this has hit very close to home. A member of my family is going through this particular problem, and my dad had it as well. What's the latest we need to know about prostate and how to keep them healthy? And if they're unhealthy, how to try to ease them back up into goodness again?
Yeah, well, I mean, of all cancers, some of the most exciting data on the role diet can play in treating and even reversing the progression of disease has been done with prostate cancer, although now we're starting to do it with breast cancer as well. And so what Dr. Dean Ornish did, he was the one that showed back in 1990 that you can reverse heart disease, our number one killer, with a plant-based diet and simple lifestyle changes like exercise and stress reduction. And so he actually showed for the first time doing these angiograms, he actually visualized the arteries actually open up, get wider without drugs, without surgery, just a plant-based diet. So now that he conquered our number one killer, he moved on to our number two killer, which is cancer. And number one cancer killer men is prostate cancer, number one cancer. And so basically what he did is he took these men and put them on the same diet, put them on the plant-based diet. And you can do that because prostate cancer is so slow-growing that often when it's first diagnosed, the person is given a choice. The man is given a choice. You can kind of a watch-and-wait attitude, or you can go straight to radiation and surgery, or you can wait and push off radiation surgery for the future. So it's very rare where we actually have that opportunity to give diet a try, because too often the cancer is so advanced, so fast-growing, that you don't even want to try these so-called alternative therapies. You want to go straight to some more of the kind of the radical medical approaches. But with prostate cancer, we had a little window. We had a time, said, look, let's give diet a try. It can't hurt. So they put half the people on this plant-based diet, told the other half to just eat whatever they were eating before, and then came back a year later and saw what happened. And they found, using a biomarker called PSA, which measures the progress of the prostate cancer, found that in the standard American diet group that didn't do anything different, indeed their cancer progressed. Their PSA level continued to rise. In fact, so much so that some were forced to go into surgery and get what's called a radical prostatectomy, where they remove the prostate gland, can lead to all sorts of long-term adverse side effects. But the cancer was just growing so fast that was the recommendation from their physicians. However, in the plant-based diet group, not only did none of the men have to go to surgery, and this was after the two-year follow-up as well, none of them had to go on chemotherapy or radiation, but the progression of the prostate cancer actually reversed, actually went down. The PSA went down. There was less prostate cancer at the end of the study than at the beginning. And it's not because they cut it out. It's not because they irradiated or gave them toxic chemo drugs. It's because they just changed their body through diet, through a plant-based diet. Subsequent research shows that even within weeks, within days, 12 days, you put people on a plant-based diet and you can actually take blood samples from them, kind of from before and after going on a plant-based diet, drip them on prostate cancer cells in a petri dish and show how effective just a few days of eating plant-based can be in terms of getting one's immune system to dramatically boost their ability to suppress cancer growth.
That is amazing. If someone is listening right now to the program who has prostate cancer and he says, oh my goodness, I did not know this, I need to make some changes, what would be the first step, Dr. Greger? You have led people down this path before to healing. What's the first step? What should they do right now today to begin this journey?
Oh, well, they should call their doctor immediately and say, why didn't you tell me this? No, they really should make an appointment and say, look, I want to give this a try. And my contact information is on my website. I'd be happy to provide anybody with the PDF sexual studies and stuff so you can bring to your doctor and say, look, this was found to be remarkably effective. There's no side effects. In fact, only good side effects. Yeah, it'll also reduce your risk of heart disease and all the other killers. So when you survive your prostate cancer, then you won't have other problems farther down the road. So with only good side effects, no downsides, why not give it a try? And then you can watch. Your physician can watch the changes that happen in your body and can see the healing that has been shown to take place. And so I would do it with your physician. And if your physician hasn't heard of these studies, look, they're busy. They've got a lot of things going on. They may not have had time to look at the research, which has just been published in the last few years. They didn't learn it in medical school because it didn't exist. This information didn't exist when they were in medical school. But they should jump at the opportunity to get another tool in their arsenal to treat this kind of cancer and so many other diseases as well.
All right, that website, www.nutritionfacts.org. It sounds like you're saying that in love and with patients, we need to educate our physicians sometimes.
Absolutely. And it's not their fault. They didn't learn it. Yeah. But, that's one of the reasons I actually created this website is because, when I didn't learn any of this stuff in medical school either. And so I was so excited by all this information, I wanted to spread it around. I used to go around and give talks at medical schools, but now I don't have to. I can just say, look, go to the website. I'm going to put all the new research up there. And it was really exciting. You just see their, the medical students. People go to medical school because they want to help people. Sure. They want to become doctors because they want to. Look, if they want to make money, they could go, stock trading. There's better ways to make lots of money. But, people go into medicine because they want to help people, or at least that's the original kind of altruistic urge. And some of them doctors, they lose that through training and are placed in modern medicine where, they have to deal with insurance companies and there's some frustrations in current practice, particularly here in the United States. But when I go to medical schools and I show them this data, showing that you cannot just, it's not just a matter of slowing the progression of these chronic diseases by giving one drug after another, but you can actually reverse disease. You can make people healthy. You can do what you wanted to do when you went to medical school in the first place. You want to heal people. You want to take care of people. And using these plant-based diet approaches, you can help entire families at a time. And so instead of just, slowing the progression of the diabetes, extending the time where they can keep their limbs, keep their eyesight, keep their kidney function, you can reverse their diabetes, make them healthy again so they then never have to worry about, amputations and vision loss and kidney failure. That's what really excites people. So I've been excited to be able to get that message out there.
Well, you're doing it beautifully. I've listened to you talk, and I've looked at your DVDs and videos and presentations, and it is there. And it is there with humor and with a lot of interest, and it's just a highly recommended, listener, that you visit the website nutritionfacts.org. There was something fishy about the website recently, and also on the DVD that you sent to me not too long ago, about fish. You were saying that there really is no safe fish to eat because of problems in what the fish is eating and the environment in which the fish lives.
Yeah, no. So that's... unless one has a time machine, can go back a few centuries before the Industrial Revolution, unfortunately, our world is so toxic these days, and everything eventually kind of runs into the sea. Our oceans are kind of humanity's sewers right now.
That's right.
And so, the coal smokestacks, that release this mercury in the atmosphere, where does it eventually end up? Well, eventually ends up in the streams that go to the rivers that eventually end up in the ocean. So if you were looking for these industrial pollutants, whether it's the pesticides, if you look at the levels of, DDT, PCBs, dioxins, these heavy metals, the highest levels anywhere in our food supply, it always comes down to fish. Yeah. It always comes down to these aquatic animals that build up. Now, the smaller fish have lower levels because they usually live shorter lives. Mm-hmm. And the larger fish that live longer lives have longer time to accumulate these toxins into their bodies. These so-called fish advisories that you see coming out from the Environmental Protection Agency, they give a fish that these are the least harmful and the more harmful fish, and so you could choose this kind of tuna over that kind of tuna. But basically, why get any risk at all. I mean, one can choose to get those healthy omega-3 fatty acids. That's what one's looking for on eating fish. That's why there's a recommendation to eat fish, because we want these long-chain omega-3 fatty acids, which reduce heart disease risk. And, you know, they say, yes, you know, yes, it can increase the toxins like mercury, can increase brain damage, can decrease IQs of our children as much as 10 points if women eat the tuna fish, cans of tuna fish during pregnancy. It can cause, you know, kind of all sorts of other developmental delays and problems, even into adulthood, with these so-called fish fog cases where people have so mercury toxic they actually can't function appropriately, and all due to just eating particularly the highest mercury fish like tuna fish. But, well, wait a second, how are you going to get those omega-3s without the downsides? Well, our bodies can make those long-chain omega-3s ourselves when we eat the short-chain omega-3s found in flax seeds and walnuts and dark green leafy vegetables. But for those that want to get more in their diet, we can actually get that EPA and DHA, the long-chain aquatic fatty acids, from the same place the fish get them from. The fish get them from the bottom of the food chain, these little algae, basically, that produce these long-chain omega-3 fatty acids in the first place. And they just kind of accumulate up the food supply and end up in fish, but also these toxins bioaccumulate too. So we can kind of cut out the middle fish, cut out the middleman by going straight and getting this algae-based EPA and DHA. And so if your doctor ever says, look, we really want to put you on fish oil or increase your fish consumption, what they're thinking of is these long-chain omega-3s. And so you say, well, wait a second, why can't I get the microalgae-based long-chain omega-3s, the EPA, DHA, it's the same stuff. It's 100% bioequivalent, because that's where the fish get it from in the first place. But this is, look, they just grow it in a stainless steel vat. There's no pollutants. There's no risk of food poisoning, some other things associated with fish consumption. So you can get all the omega-3s we want from a contaminant-free source. We can get the benefits without the risks.
All right, very good. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, when you need information about how to be well and what you need to take to be well, you go to your local health food store or to a place that sells herbs and you talk to the people behind the counter. Is that the best place to go? And is the information there reliable? Well, Dr. Greger has a study on this, as he has on everything, and we'll find out what the answer to that question is on a return. So stay right where you are. Body fat you see in the mirror is dangerous enough, but the fat you can't see can be downright deadly. Spending time in the car, on a couch, or at a computer invites the development of fatty material deep inside your abdomen. Visceral fat, the fat underneath your stomach muscles, pumps out hormones that can worsen diabetes, heart disease, and some cancers. Attack that fat by walking and exercising daily. In other words, don't just sit there. Move.
Concerned about those extra pounds, high blood pressure, diabetes, cholesterol, depression, and heart disease? I'm Dr. Hans Diehl, inviting you to join the people in the know and enroll in the next CHIP program in your area. It can make all the difference.
For more information about the Complete Health Improvement Program and to transform CHIP's proven results into priceless benefits for you and your family, visit chiphealth.org. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills, here with Dr. Michael Greger. Among other things, he is also the Director of Public Health and Animal Agriculture at the Humane Society of the United States, and he is the moving and driving force behind the website nutritionfacts.org, and I recommend that you become involved with that website at your earliest convenience, because it's time for us to get well, America. It's time for us to get well, world. And the only way we can do that is to educate ourselves and start making wise choices. Speaking of wise choices, you go to an herb store or a health food store, Dr. Greger, and you want some good information on what to take and how much to take and what not to take. Is that a reliable source, the guy behind the counter at the health food store?
Yeah, you know, that's something I've always wondered. You know, they're always so nice. They come in to offer, you know, kind of offer advice on healing what ails us. But, you know, I always wonder, look, do they, how much training do they get? How much do they really know? I mean, even most doctors don't know about these kind of natural therapies. And so, you know, I was kind of curious. And so I was delighted to learn that that very question, you know, how good is, you know, a natural food store employee advice, was the subject of multiple medical studies spanning over a decade now. And so we actually do this. They actually take researchers posing as a various subjects going into these health food stores and asking employees for advice and then just writing down. And so when researchers pose as breast cancer patients, for example, you know, 95% of the stores trying to sell them something, well, that's understandable. That's their job. But look, they didn't ask a single question about the diagnosis, didn't ask, they just gave, you know, offered 38 different types of products, so there wasn't any kind of consistency. Some of these had an annual cost of thousands of dollars. The most common recommendation was shark cartilage, which studies show are effective at causing side effects like nausea, fever, dizziness, even life-threatening hypercalcemia, liver failure, but little else, right? So not only is it useless, but it's actually dangerous and cause lots of problems. Yet that was kind of the number one recommendation given to these kind of fake breast cancer patients that when they walked in. There's been similar studies done. They had pregnant women going in asking for, you know, effective natural remedies for nausea, for example, for morning sickness, very common thing that you'd imagine they get asked. But look, pregnancy is a very, you know, sensitive time. You don't want to, you want to be very careful about taking drugs and even natural remedies. And unbelievably, they found that women, instead of being advised to take the pregnancy-safe, effective natural remedies like ginger, which has been found to be effective, were asked to take things that are dangerous during pregnancy, like feverfew and black cohosh, which can cause miscarriages, which can cause uterine contractions. These are things we never want women to take during pregnancy, and yet that's what people were offered for nausea. And so basically, these health food store employees didn't know what they were talking about. And when you actually look into what kind of training they got, either they got no training whatsoever or in-store training only. And, you know, what is the store going to tell them to do? They're going to tell them to sell supplements. But unfortunately, some of the supplements they were selling were useless or worse. And in the final series of experiments, they asked them, what about pharmacists? So you walk into a pharmacy, you walk into a drugstore, and you can ask the pharmacist, you know, what should I take for X? What kind of over-the-counter thing I should take? And so, and they found that pharmacists did better than kind of health food store employees, at least not pointing to things that were dangerous, but the level of ignorance was still relatively high. And, of course, doctors themselves know precious little about what doctors should be putting in their mouths, not only because they get inadequate training in medical school, but even when they get out of medical school and they don't get what's called postgraduate training, they don't get continuing medical education in nutrition. And in fact, professional medical organizations have even actively lobbied against doctors getting more education on the topic of nutrition. And so you're not going to get it. And so we really need to empower ourselves with knowledge because, unfortunately, we're not going to get it from the stores. And oftentimes, we're not even going to get it from our health professionals.
And it's very interesting that there are really two types of information. There are anecdotal. So someone says, I took this and I feel great. That is anecdotal. That's a story. Someone is telling you that this helped me. But I'm thinking, you're a scientist, Dr. Greger, so I'm thinking that you probably are saying, look, let's find a study on this thing. Let's find some type of research on this thing. And there is where we're going to find the truth. Am I on the right track here?
Well, look, you know, when anecdotes aren't worthless, anecdotes is often how science starts.
That's true.
Someone says,
true.
Look, I took this, I felt better. So a scientist says, hey, let's see if that works across the board. Let's see if that works in general. Is that just a fluke? Right? And so that's how the studies get started. But until you have that data, you don't know. And the biggest problem is that the person telling you that anecdote, do they have a commercial interest?
Yes.
Right? And so someone says, I took this, I feel better. Oh, by the way, I'm selling this. I personally profit from this. Then you always have to, be a little more skeptical. You always got to take things with a grain of salt. And that's where you really got to put things to the test. And you got to find out, look, You know, you give that versus a placebo versus a sugar pill. Does it work better than a placebo? If people think things work, well, then it actually, even if you just give them a sugar pill, it may actually make them feel better, which is great. But to see if things actually work better than placebo, you really got to put it to the test. But thankfully, there are thousands of studies out there, but unfortunately, they get buried because there's no financial interest in getting them out to the world. Everyone's going to hear about the new drug, yeah, the latest surgical procedure, the new medical equipment, because there's big companies selling these things, so they do advertising, and they get the information out to the physicians. But, you know, let's say a study comes out saying cinnamon helps with diabetes, right? How is that ever going to get out to the doctors, right? There's no cinnamon industry lobby, and that's because cinnamon isn't branded. So even if you're a cinnamon manufacturer, you're not going to advertise that cinnamon's good because people go out and they're not going to buy your cinnamon, they'll just buy any cinnamon. Even as a cinnamon manufacturer, you don't have a financial interest in getting this information out there. Only with rare exceptions. So for example, kiwi fruits. There's all these studies about kiwi fruits. Why? Well, because there's actually one company that basically monopolizes the majority of kiwi fruit production in the world. And so they know that, look, if you buy kiwi fruit, odds are they're going to get money from it. And so they actually pay for studies. And so there's all this amazing data showing that kiwi fruits do amazing things for people. But, you know, I have a feeling that, boy, if they did the same study with apples, did the same study with broccoli, and they might even find better results. But unfortunately, you know, there's just not money out there for these kind of studies. And even when they're done on a fluke, when they're paid for by government or paid for by nonprofit academic institutions, the studies are done, but then they disappear. Yeah. And that's what I do. That's why I go and I treasure hunt in the library for these golden nuggets that have been lost. You know, they may be 10 years old, and why hasn't anyone heard about them? Because there's kind of no financial interest to get them out there. So that's what started me off on this quest 10 years ago. And now I'm able to kind of bring it to the world by putting it online.
That website, again, listener, and I cannot emphasize this enough. There are many websites on the Internet, of course, on the subject of health. But this one is science-based. This one has the studies. This one has the backup research papers there for you to read. The same thing also happens, of course, at the CHIP Health website. That is happening there as well. But this one is pretty amazing, and it's also searchable, and you might want to just check that out. Topics you can find on any subject. That's www.nutritionfacts.org. Let's move to arteries here. Artery health is the number one concern of cardiologists everywhere, and it should be the number one concern of all of us, the health of our arteries. What are we doing, Dr. Greger, in your research that is helping our arteries, and what are we doing that is damaging our arteries? Because if we damage them, what happens?
Well, so that's right. So our number one killer is heart disease. I mean, if all a plant-based diet did was just prevent, treat, and reverse our number one killer, then that's it. Right? Game over. Everyone, I mean, then you would take from that, okay, everyone needs to start eating this way, yes, right? Now, even if that's all it did, even it did nothing against cancer and inflammation, all these other things, right? It's by far our number one killer. And what happens? Well, this so-called atherosclerotic plaque, this hardening of arteries, it happens to closing off, squeezing off our arteries that supply blood to our very heart muscle to allow it to pump. If we can't get blood to the muscle of our heart, then the muscle dies, causes a heart attack, and can result in sudden cardiac death. And that's actually the number one cause of death in America. It's not just heart disease. It's actually what's called sudden cardiac death, meaning that your first symptom is your last symptom. The first symptom occurs not years before you die, but that first feeling, oh, I got a little chest pain radiating down my arm, whatever you're experiencing, that first symptom occurs within 60 minutes of death, within an hour. That's sudden cardiac death, number one killer of both men and women. And these are people without any known heart disease, right? No one told you had heart disease, but obviously you had rampant heart disease because within 60 minutes, you're gone forever. And so if there was ever a reason for primary prevention, meaning preventing a disease in the first place, it's heart disease. Because unlike some of these other diseases, it's too late. You know, if your blood sugars start going up, you get prediabetes, no problem, you can reverse it. But, you know, no matter how good your diet is in those 60 minutes after your first symptom, you're not going to, you know, even if you, you know, the paramedic snatch your chicken wings away on the way to the hospital, refuse to stop at your favorite fast food joint, You know, I mean, it's just not going to matter. It's too late. So we need to prevent in the first place. How do we do that? Basically, death from heart disease is three steps. The first step is the buildup of cholesterol. And so how do we prevent that? So the number one risk factor, number one killer, is LDL, bad cholesterol circulating in our bloodstream, and that's what builds up in our artery. And there's three things in our diet that result in the levels of LDL cholesterol in our bloodstream. Number one is a trans fat, which is found in junk foods and as well as animal foods. The second is saturated fat. The primary source is actually dairy, butter fat. And the secondary source in the diet is chicken, actually. It's the number two source of saturated fat in the American diet, this artery-clogging saturated fat. And then the third dietary component that determines the number one risk factor for heart disease is dietary cholesterol consumption. And that's only found in animal kingdom. Those three things, trans fats, saturated fats, and cholesterol, all need to be reduced, minimized as much as possible. In fact, the Institute of Medicine, which is the federal body that, you know, makes the RDAs, makes the official nutrition recommendations, they could not set an upper tolerable intake. Mm. And normally they say something's bad for us. They say, okay, well, so stay below this level. So for sodium, you know, you want to stay under, you know, 2,000 milligrams a day or 1,500 milligrams a day. They say, look, yeah, a little sodium is fine, but too much is bad. And so, but they could not come up with any level of trans fat intake where that was okay, any level of dietary cholesterol intake that was okay, any level of saturated animal fat intake that was okay. Because even at really, really small levels, you still got a bump in your LDL, bump in your bad cholesterol, increase your risk for heart disease. And so basically the upper tolerable intake is zero.
Yes.
And so we really want to decrease our intake of those three things as much as possible, which basically means decrease our intake as much as possible of junk foods and animal foods, meat, eggs, and dairy, until we get our bad cholesterol down to the 60 or 70 range. And the only way we can do that is with a really healthy diet.
Mm. Well, these are words of wisdom today from our guest, Michael Greger. He is the founder of the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, physician, author, and speaker, and also the driving force behind www.nutritionfacts.org. And I like the fact that you're calling it facts, because we're not talking about hyperbole here. We're talking about facts, studies, proven information right there on his website on about any subject you can think of when it comes to nutrition. That's nutritionfacts.org. Dr. Greger, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime.
And listener, again, we want to invite you to the website chiphealth.org as well. Here you can find if a CHIP program is coming into your area, as well as other resources that Dr. Deal has made available to you. That's chiphealth.org. Great program today. Until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Michael Greger, inviting you to begin enjoying health by choice, not by chance. Goodbye, everyone.